It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
June 2020. Oh my gosh, how in the heck did we get here? It's as though we're in a bizarro world. This COVID-19 situation still just raging all over, and now we're hearing about it starting back up. And of course, there's been so much civil unrest regarding the incredibly senseless and sad death of George Floyd. I kept thinking, what do I do? What can I do? I'm a woman who has a show that's about death and dying and grief, and this, in my estimation, was an incredibly senseless death, and I think it needs to be discussed. So I thought about it, and I was on a walk, and this lightning bolt hit me that I needed to reach out to my friend Nadir Omawali. Nadir is Detroit Music Award-winning, multi-award-winning musician. He's a producer, songwriter, and an activist. And he's just an incredibly nice man, and a father, and a fabulous husband. So I reached out to Nadir to see if he would come on the show and discuss with me what is going on the planet from his perspective surrounding George Floyd and what we can do as human beings to understand and, my goodness, bring some peace back and find some justice for the situation. So he agreed to come on. So next week, a week from this show, Nadir Omawali will be my guest. The remarkable timing of this is Nadir also has a brand new single coming out called Run, and I'm going to feature that song. So I love that Brent Carey from Empower is giving me an extra half hour, so I have a full hour going to feature a song from Nadir, which deals with the content of the current state of affairs on the planet right now. It's called Run. I have not heard it yet. I cannot wait. Maybe we'll even play it twice, maybe at the beginning of the show next week with Nadir and at the end. So next week, please, please join me in welcoming Nadir Omawali to the next room, and we will discuss all kinds of wonderful things. And I shouldn't even say wonderful. We'll discuss the good stuff, and we'll discuss the uncomfortable stuff next week on The Next Room. So today's show, I'm flying solo, and I've been discussing obituaries quite a bit. I put a post on The Next Room Facebook page, and I kind of spread out all these obituaries and made mention that I had inherited these through my mom. And a lot of people chimed in and said, oh, I do that too. You know, I clip those out. I save those. And I just love it. It's history. It's our family. It's your family. It's our friends. It's their meaningful, maybe the last thing ever written about them on the planet. And by saving them, we can kind of create this wonderful historical perspective on our families. So let me tell you about my pile of obituaries and how it came to be. So my mom, who many of you know was literally still is my best friend. I went home to see her. I was still a single gal coming home from Santa Barbara, coming home to see my folks. And they had this awesome house on a little lake in northern Michigan. And my dad would sleep in. And so it was kind of my time with mom, you know, having that early morning cup of coffee. And she'd be sitting in her gliding rocking chair, and I'd be across from her on the couch. And we would just discuss everything, all kinds of good stuff over our coffee. So this one particular morning, she read the newspaper religiously every day. Sometimes they would stack up because she would fall asleep the night before reading it. And so, but she would never throw a paper out until she had read it top to bottom. And her favorite, favorite, favorite section of the newspaper was the obituary section, which happened to be mine. So I'm home. We're discussing this. We find out that I had inherited this passion for obituaries through her. And it was so much fun to go, oh my gosh, mom, you like those too? That's like my favorite thing to read. And then we started talking about, she would tell me her pet peeves, which she had two about obituaries. And one was she wasn't a fan when, say, an elderly person passed away. Maybe they were in their 80s or 90s, and they would put like a high school picture of them. That bothered her for some reason. She just was like, why don't they just put a picture of how they look right now? It just chapter hide for some reason. I think it's so funny to think of now. And the other thing that really whizzed her was she wanted to know how the person passed. And she would read top to bottom. And if it didn't tell her, or if she couldn't figure it out by where donations were going, it would really upset her. And I think it was because, not that she was nosy by any stretch, because she wasn't. She just was very caring and very curious, and it was important to her to know not only how they lived and what they left behind, but then how they passed through to the next room. So those were her two pet peeves. So she goes on to tell me this particular morning, sitting there having her coffee in her living room, about how she had been saving all the obituaries from our family forever, for years and years, in a big manila envelope. And she also had a separate envelope, which she put friends in, which I'm holding both of them right here. So how does Jane end up with all of this family history? It's a great story. I had purchased a family Bible, like this big, stomping, beautiful gold Bible with praying hands on the front of it. I think it was my first big radio paycheck. I was just a kid, maybe 19, and I thought, oh, what a great Christmas present for my parents. And it was. They loved it, and they kept it in their bedroom, right on their, like they had this chest that was at the end of the bed, and it was right there on top of it. Gorgeous, really beautiful Bible. And now I'm finding treasures throughout the Bible that my mother had left, different little markers here and there. And anyway, she had said that morning, Jane, the obituaries go with the Bible. The Bible will come back to you because you gifted it to us. So we'll gift it back to you when we no longer are here and are not able to read it. And we'd like you to have it. And she was like, put up her finger. And if you know my mom, and even if you don't, her one finger on her right hand was a little crooked. So when she would point, it would always kind of veer off. So I would always joke to my brother that, you know, when she was upset with me, she was actually pointing at him. But anyway, she got up that crooked finger and said, those obituaries stay with the Bible and they're coming back to you. And here's why I think she did that. First of all, she knew I loved obituaries. There's maybe somewhere deep inside of her, she knew that someday her daughter, 20, 30 years from that moment in time, would end up with a podcast about death and be able to talk about obituaries and how important they are. I'm not sure, but I do know that she knew I would preserve them. So that brings me to my question to you. What do I do? I have these envelopes filled. And the one thought, I'm not very artsy crafty, but the one thought I had was, how about a scrapbook, obituary scrapbook? I could make a family obituary scrapbook and a friend's obituary scrapbook and preserve them and then put that in my will and dedicate it to whomever will continue to keep this tradition alive. Because ultimately, I'm thinking, wouldn't it be great decades from now to have this, where great-great-great-grandkids or great-great-great-grandnieces and nephews can flip through these books at a family reunion and go, oh my God, look at this. Look at the history. They have all of this information at their fingertips. And I'm not quite sure who's going to end up with these, because I want to make sure, you know, Betty and Thomas are awesome people. I just don't know if they care enough about this. Maybe they will someday. They're pretty young right now, so they probably, so I'll wait and see. But it might actually end up being a niece or a nephew that is the keeper of this. because it needs to be preserved. And I'd like to see this tradition carried on. So because I'm not artsy craftsy, I'm going to have to reach out to my niece, April, who is a whiz at putting together beautiful scrapbooks. And I'll see maybe if A, she has the time, and if B, she'd be willing, and I would certainly pay her to do it for me. But it'd be really cool. And then I would have it to be able to take to, say, the Harmonize, which is our family reunion, which isn't happening this year because, you know, socially we decided to be responsible and not have it because of the COVID-19, but it's going to happen next year. So a year from this summer, a year from this coming July, I'll get on a plane and it would be my goal to take back that scrapbook of all these obituaries of all of our family members and take it to the family reunion and let people go through it and look at it. And by Jove, I think I've got it. I think I'm going to have to do that. Okay. See, now that I've said it, you got to hold me to it. So, because I do have a tendency to procrastinate. What, me? So that's a cool idea. I think I'm going to do that. And I will have to talk to my second cousins, all of those that put together this Harmon reunion, because I want to tell you, when all of us are together, there are a few brewskis. So we'll have to be careful. I don't want beer spilled on the scrapbook of the obituaries. But maybe if we put it off in a special area and ask people to be cool and not have their beverages around it, just because, you know, shiz happens. Okay, so I'm so thrilled that my mother did this. And I heard from so many of you that also have this same passion to hang on to this, because this is our history. I mean, in this envelope right now, I have the newspaper clipping from my cousin Dennis, who died in Vietnam. He was one of the first young boys from a small town in Michigan that actually lost his life while he was, you know, fighting. I mean, how sad is that? But how beautiful to have not only his obituary out of the newspaper, but I also have his prayer card and the insert from the church bulletin. I mean, that needs to be preserved. And I'm really happy that my mother hung on to all of those things. So, I mean, I have her parents. She saved my mom or my dad's parents, her sister, Aunt Alice. I've got her information. I've got Uncle Earl's, Aunt Janita's. They have Uncle Cobb's and Aunt Ines, although Uncle Cobb outlived my ma, so, you know, and so did Aunt Ine. So I had to be the keeper of those. And here's the great thing about doing this as a family. You can do it as a family project. My sister Gail is phenomenal about helping me out. I'm in California, so I can't get on a plane and pop home to every funeral. And there has been so many in the past 10 years since my mom left. But Gail goes to every single funeral, every church service, and every single time she will send me a message. First, we have to have a conversation because she'll tell me all about it. She tells me about the music that was played, the people that were there, the love that was shared. She talks about the cousins that showed up. She'll tell me what they did afterward, if they went to a bar or they had a luncheon. And then she'll say, oh, by the way, Janie, I got you the prayer card and I got you the church bulletin. And she saves them for me. So the tradition lives on. And I would be remiss not to thank Gail for helping me to do this, because it is a family project. And it's so important. So I lost my train of thought. That's not uncommon these days. I don't know if you haven't. I'm calling it the coronavirus brain. Seems like it's affected a lot of my friends too, where you're right and then you're not right. I don't know if it's just lack of being out and being social or what it is, but I look forward to finding my head again one of these days. Anyway, so if you have some ideas for this, or if you want to chime in, please, by all means, the Gmail account is thenextroomwithjane@gmail. Super easy. thenextroomwithjane@gmail. Or you can go to my Facebook page, The Next Room, and chime in there. And also, I'm always looking for fun and interesting and funny obituaries, because I get such a kick out of it when people have a sense of humor, because we're all going to die, you know? That's That's one thing for sure. It's just a matter of how and when. And if we can't have a sense of humor about it and get out of our own way and have a good laugh, there's something very fun about a funny obituary. So if you see funny obituaries or a really interesting one, please pass one along to me. A high school friend, Vicky, just sent me one last week, and it was brilliant. Great. I wish I had it at my fingertips. Maybe I do. I'll have to see if I can find it. Vicky sent it to me through Facebook Messenger, and she said, I know you like interesting obituaries, so check this one out. So I'll see if I can locate that while we're still doing... Oh, here it is. Okay, check this out. I just love the sense of humor. This is Max. Max is... he passed away in Arizona. The man, the wit, the legend. Yes, he really could make and fix all those things. Men wanted to be him, and women wanted to be with him. He lived to be 87. God love you, Max. He left behind a shed with a heck of a lot of stuff to his wife, daughters, and sons who have no idea what to do with it. Max loved his wife, family, his country, Studebakers, Moline tractors, old country western music, and ice cream. Not necessarily in that order. He hated hypocrites, imports, and laziness. Not necessarily in that order. He had zero working knowledge on the Kardashians. We are blessed to learn many valuable lessons from Max during his 87 years with us. Always have mad money. Put things back where you got them so you'll always know where they are. And it'll feel better when it stops hurting. Max was a wealth of knowledge on multiple things, and his favorite lesson from his Grandpa Hill, who told him, if he found anything, leave it. Wasn't his, and the owner would come back looking for it. Max was born in Decker on the banks of the mighty Cass River. This is in Michigan. And it goes on to talk about his family. It says his adventure with his bride, Frances, started on November 10th. They married in Marlette after she chased me. So he said he had six kids, a whole bunch of grandkids. He said no service, but well-wishers encouraged to donate to St. Jude's. Fabulous. Love St. Jude's. Or the Shriners. Also, big fan of the Shriners. So there you have it. So thank you, Vicky, and God love you, Max, and whoever, you know, somebody in your family has a great sense of humor and really knows how to write a great obituary. I love, love, love seeing that. So I'll keep you updated. And I'm, now that I've said it, I guess I really have to stick to it, and I have to come through with my obituary scrapbook that I'm hopeful will live on way, way, way beyond me and way beyond the next generation and the next generation. So someday, somewhere down the line, great, 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 greats, nieces, nephews, grandkids, whatever, will say, holy crap, look at this. This is so awesome. And take it to their family reunion and protect it from beer stains. Okay? Please join me next week. This has been a lot of fun today. Nadir Omawali, musician, producer, songwriter, activist, Detroit Music Award winning Nadir, will be on the show. And I'm so pleased and grateful that he agreed to come on the show and also allow me to feature his brand new song, Run. So it's going to be a departure from the basic Next Room, but I feel in my heart and in my gut that this is going to be an extraordinarily important show next week with my friend Nadir Omawali. So until then, stay safe, my friends. Wash your hands a lot. Wear your mask. Stay 6 feet apart. You know the drill. Take good care of yourselves, because really that's all we have is one another, right? It's all that really matters is the love that we share on this planet.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.